Martha's Vineyard faces another presidential TFR. F-15s are outrun by a 180 on floats. And the Space Coast will get $40 million to transition. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, August 19th, 2010. President Obama and his family will be vacationing on Martha's Vineyard for the next 10 days, and you know what that means. General aviation and any associated benefit to the community will be pretty much shut down by a TFR. The restriction goes into effect today at 2:30 p.m. and lasts through 2:30 p.m. on Sunday the 29th. Only scheduled commercial passenger and cargo flights will be allowed to operate in the 10 nautical mile inner ring. Private pilots will be allowed in the outer ring, but only with 3 days or more advance notice, and most reasons we would fly there are specifically prohibited, including sightseeing and flight training. Medevac, law enforcement, and firefighting flights will be required to get clearance before taking off. Let's hope the TSA answers the phone this time. A Flight for Life helicopter dispatched to rescue a 4-year-old boy in the Memorial Day Chicago TFR area was kept grounded because the phone line was tied up. A ground ambulance made it to the boy in time. TSA didn't say whether it was the EMTs on the helicopter or the unconscious 4-year-old who were the terror suspects. Get more details on today's TFR in the text version of this story, dated August 18th, at aero-news.net. A pair of F-15s was scrambled from Portland, Oregon, Tuesday to intercept a Cessna float plane which violated a presidential TFR in Seattle, and in their haste, they broke the sound barrier. The Oregon Air National Guard's resulting sonic booms were heard across a large portion of the region. People living from Olympia to Edmonds in Washington State flooded their 911 call centers with calls to report two distinct explosions that rattled windows and shook homes. Authorities say the call volume crashed the 911 system across parts of Pierce County. I know. Those of you who've lived in Central Florida long enough to have heard a few shuttle reentries are laughing right now. Como TV reports that the float plane landed at Kenmore on the north shore of Lake Washington before an intercept could be made. The two people on board the Cessna 180J were believed to be from Canada. The pilot was interviewed and the plane checked out by Secret Service. A second plane also reportedly violated the TFR and landed at an airport about 8 miles from the president's location just minutes before it would have been intercepted. Maybe positioning F-15s 180 miles from the center of a TFR isn't close enough? The task force created by the Obama administration to ease the transition of Florida's Space Coast from the NASA era to the commercial spaceflight era is out with its report. The group was given a $40 million budget and told to figure out how to spend it to lessen the impact of a shrinking NASA on the local economy. The President's Task Force on Space Industry Workforce and Economic Development, co-chaired by NASA Administrator Charles Bolden and Commerce Secretary Gary Locke, offered suggestions, including to sustain retraining resources for displaced workers, the Space Shuttle Transition Liaison Office, and Recovery Act funding for the region, and other government programs. Spend $600,000 to launch a new commercial spaceflight technical center in support of small businesses and industry clusters, to invest in smart economic growth initiatives through a new competitive fund, and to build lasting infrastructure through public-private partnerships. The bulk of the $40 million will be dedicated to a fast-track competitive grant process through the Economic Development Administration. Details of that competition will be announced on September 1st. Up next on ANN, Air Transat pilots vote to approve a strike. An Oregon FBO faces a steep fine. And remembering Alejandro McLean, you're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3300. 2220.
The Waco YMF-5D is an open cockpit sport biplane that embodies the golden age of aviation in a new production aircraft. The evolution of the new D model Waco incorporates many new features and upgrades, delivering greater performance than ever before, but with more horsepower and lower aircraft weight. Your new Waco is completely customized to your exact specifications, including your choice of avionics. Own and live the dream yourself with the new Waco YMF-5D. Check out the dream at www.wacoclassic.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for August 19th. I'm Paul Platt. The aerobatic community is mourning Tuesday's loss of Spanish performer and Red Bull competitor Alejandro McLean in a training accident. He was 41 and reportedly was practicing aerobatics for an air show. The former captain of the Spanish national aerobatic team began his Red Bull air race career in 2003 and was described as a key figure in the evolution of the championship. Find out more details on his life in the text version of this story, dated August 18th, at aero-news.net. The pilots of Canada-based Air Transat have voted to support a lawful strike if a contract agreement is not reached with management. The Airline Pilots Association says 97% of pilots voted in favor of a lawful strike should it become necessary. Negotiations have been underway since January of this year. On June 25th, the government assigned a mediator, starting a countdown to a cooling-off period September 10th and a possible strike as soon as October 1st. ALPA has backed the local with a $1 million contingency fund. The FAA is proposing civil penalties totaling $580,000 against Hillsboro Aviation in Oregon in connection with the maintenance and operation of its helicopters. The charges allege the company used an unqualified individual and incorrect parts to maintain one Bell 206, didn't log the work, and falsified an entry noting compliance with an AD. On another Jet Ranger, it's alleged the company skipped required inspections. The two machines were allegedly used for a total of at least 533 flights while not in compliance. In a third case, a Jet Ranger with passengers on board was allegedly flown under the I-5 and 205 bridges on the Columbia River north of Portland, within 500 feet of a structure and at a low altitude where a safe emergency landing might not have been possible. Hillsboro Aviation has 30 days to respond. Still ahead, the Global Observer makes its first flight. Boeing's Dreamliner training courses are approved. And it's great to be number one, but out of how many? You're listening to Aero News.
Leading the way to a new generation of aircraft, Eclipse Aerospace introduces the Total Eclipse twin-engine jet. The Total Eclipse is a sophisticated, high-performance aircraft with low operating costs, low environmental impact, and uncompromised safety. Every Total Eclipse jet comes with flights to 41,000 feet, max cruise speeds of 370 knots, an onboard color radar with electronic moving maps and e-charts. And of course, every Total Eclipse comes complete with a factory warranty. Log on to eclipseaerospace.net for more information.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Thursday, August 19th. I'm Paul Platt. The first aircraft developed under the Global Observer Joint Capability Technology Demonstration Program has successfully completed its first flight. AeroVironment, the system developer, said Tuesday that Global Observer Aircraft 1001 took off from runway 4 left at Edwards Air Force Base August 5th and climbed to 4,000 feet, where it performed a series of maneuvers before landing successfully an hour later. The test configuration uses battery power, but in mission trim, the aircraft will be fueled with liquid hydrogen. In either configuration, the propulsion system produces no carbon emissions. AeroVironment CEO Tim Conver calls the first flight the beginning of an exciting new phase for airborne communications and sensor platforms. Quote, "In the 20th century, conventional airplanes opened the lower atmosphere to practical use, and satellites did the same for space. I believe that Global Observer soon will establish the stratosphere as a valuable and practical area of operation," unquote. The FAA has granted provisional approval to Boeing Training and Flight Services for its 787 Dreamliner pilot training courses. The courses allow pilots to transition to the new plane in 20 days or less, depending on experience. Boeing 777 pilots can qualify to fly the Dreamliner in as little as 5 days, due to the high level of commonality between the types. The company says it's now working with the FAA to obtain provisional approval of the training devices, which must be obtained before formal pilot training can begin. The provisional designation will be removed once the 787 is fully certified. The program uses devices including a full flight simulator, flight training device, and desktop simulation station. There are currently 8 of the training suites at 5 locations around the world in Tokyo, Singapore, Shanghai, Seattle, and Gatwick in the UK. And finally today, for the 11th year in a row, the annual America's Best Colleges Guide, published by U.S. News Media Group, has ranked Embry-Riddle's aerospace engineering program number 1 in the nation, and has also named the school to the top tier of universities granting mainly bachelor's and master's degrees. In the specialty category of Best Undergraduate Aerospace, Aeronautical, Astronautical Engineering Programs at Schools Whose Highest Degree is a Bachelor's or Master's, Embry-Riddle's Daytona Beach campus took first place, and the university's Prescott, Arizona campus was number 3. Highlights of the rankings of more than 1,400 accredited four-year schools have been posted online and will be published in the September issue of U.S. News and World Report. But what I want to know is, how many undergraduate aerospace, aeronautical, astronautical, engineering programs at schools whose highest degree is a bachelor's or master's are there? That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, I'll talk with CFI Chris Burgess about the joys and challenges of instruction in gyroplanes. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.